Tonight at 10:30 on Sports Time Ohio, Training Camp Daily takes you onto the sideline and into the huddle with the Cleveland Browns. Tonight, host Jim Donovan goes one-on-one with veteran linebacker Carlos Dansby. Jim will be joined by Doug Deacon, and the guys will break down the Browns quarterback race, and they'll hear from rookie linebacker Chris Kirksey. That's all tonight at 10:30 on Training Camp Daily. Training Camp Daily, presented by PNC Bank, tonight at 10:30 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. Nathan and Vic back with you here, 216-578-0850, the way to get on board, or keep sending in your tweets as you've been doing to @Browns_daily, @Vic Carucci, @Nathan Zagura as well, and we'll get to those tweets in just a moment, but phone lines are open, 216-578-0850, but now we're going to play a little after further review. We'll bring in our producer, Mr. Matt Fontana.
After further review.
All right, guys, looking back at the Detroit preseason game, who was your MVP of the GLC?
My MVP of the GLC, wow, this is a tough one. I'm going to have to say Armonte Bryant. I thought he was every bit the guy that we had seen through the preseason, through training camp, excuse me, and then in his first preseason game. And, of course, I'm not just saying it because he was a guest on our show, but I think he acquitted himself quite well and stayed true to what we've seen in the practice field.
I'm going to go with the first-team offensive line. The fact that that unit played so well against the Detroit Lions, who have a very good defensive front. Brian Hoyer pressured on only one of 15 dropbacks all day long. That is impressive in my book. I thought they did a great job from left to right. Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, Alex Mack, John Greco, who looked very good in his first game action, and Mitchell Schwartz did a heck of a job. That unit is maybe as good as any in the National Football League.
After further review.
After the Detroit game, the biggest need for improvement on the Browns lies with what position on the team?
Well, I think it's got to be wide receiver. It was really kind of ghastly to see the general ineptitude at the position. I think when the quarterbacks made perfect throws, catches were made. When the quarterbacks made the throws that usually are made in the NFL, and I'm saying quarterbacks, plural, putting it in the vicinity of the catch, in the catch radius, guys didn't come through the way I think they needed to. And in general, I didn't see the separation we needed to see. And we did not see this team get a touchdown, and that's a problem.
Didn't see a touchdown in the scrimmage either. I'm going to go the wide. To me, it's two positions. And really, there are only two positions on this team that need to step up. Number one, the wide receivers that you hit on there. We need to see more from everybody else not named Josh Gordon, Miles Austin. Andrew Hawkins, I'd like to see him kind of get back to that form he had earlier in camp. Charles Johnson and Taylor Gabriel have at least flashed. But other than that, somebody needs to step up and help this group out. And the other one is that second-team offensive line. The second-team offensive line allowed pressures on 9 of 14 dropbacks for Johnny Manziel. I thought that they were they struggled. Terrence West hitting the backfield immediately as he got the ball on 3 different carries, losing about 10 yards on those plays. That second-team offensive line worries me. It needs to step up, and as good as that first team is, I do think Paul McQuiston can slide in and still play with that first team, Garrett Gilkey as well, but after that, it has been a little bit ugly.
And just a quick point on that. You would generally hope that you're not going to see an entire second group take over for the first group in the course of the season, but you want to feel good. I think that at least 2 of those guys of the 5 are there to help you in the pinch, and because it always happens. Very few NFL teams have a line intact from game 1 to game 16. It just doesn't go that way most of the time. So as I sit here right now, I'm not sure that I've got 2 guys that I can point to from that group and say, I think they're okay if these 2 step in, you know, for 2 starters.
Well, right now it would have to be McQuiston, who has looked okay with the first team, and Garrett Gilkey.
Yeah.
But, you know, we saw what happened last year at the beginning of the year when there was no right guard next to Mitchell Schwartz, and it got ugly. It was a disaster. So that group certainly is one that I think needs to step up.
After further review.
The one thing that each quarterback must improve on after Saturday's game.
Okay, with Johnny Manziel, it would be the progression of reads and trying to get to a point where his best option is throwing from the pocket, not running from the pocket, as is his default setting right now, and just being a little less eager to do that. There are some low-hanging fruit there. He had that in that game where he could have made a throw that he decided to run on that particular play when he decided to run instead of throw. And for Brian Hoyer, I think it's just mechanics. I think it's just keep consistent with the footwork and the ball placement. Be a little better, a little tighter with that. Generally speaking, he did fine, and he did what we expect of him. But I think it got a little loose. His overall play got loose mechanically in the course of the game, and I'm not sure what brought that on because he had excellent protection. I think he just had that desperation in his mind somewhat to make the plays that will say, hey, I am the guy, you know, I got this.
For me, with Johnny Manziel, it's reads. It's trusting what you're seeing, trusting what is truly open in the National Football League. There was the 3rd and 5 where there was a blitz, which he read. He looked right at Willie Snead, which was the hot read. Didn't pull the trigger. I want to see him do that. I want to see him be able to go from right to left, get through his progressions quickly from the pocket. Those are the two things that I think are the most important, getting the read right and getting through his progressions quickly from the pocket. Now, in terms of protecting his body, I don't want to see anything like that 3rd and 1 short yardage play. I don't need to see that. When he runs around from the pocket, scramble slides, that's great, got out of bounds. I like that, but to me, it's about getting through his progressions quicker. Still needs to work on his mechanics. I think he knows how strong his arm is, and I think that's been one of the big surprises for a lot of people is just seeing it live, just how much zip he puts on the ball. That causes him to throw the ball flat-footed at times and trust that he can just sling it in there. I want to see him continue to work on those mechanics as well. For Brian Hoyer, to me, it's about the pinpoint accuracy. He did a good job, you know, in throwing catchable balls, and there were a few drops. I thought Miles Austin should have had one. I thought Andrew Hawkins probably should have had one for him, and obviously you want to see Josh Gordon, if you are the best receiver in the game today, come up with that ball in the back of the end zone. But a couple of those throws were a little higher than they needed to be. You want to see a little bit more pinpoint accuracy from Brian Hoyer there. And to me, Brian Hoyer's success is going to be linked to one statistic, and one statistic only. That is going to be his 3rd down conversions in opposing territory. Brian Hoyer is incredibly effective on 1st and 2nd downs when there is a run-pass option. Even though his play fakes might not be, you know, technically perfect, he does a good job in that situation because the defense doesn't know what's coming. Where Brian Hoyer needs to be able to win and where he needs to improve is when the defense knows he's throwing it in 3rd and medium, 3rd and long situations in the red zone as well. He was 0-for-4 on 3rd downs in Detroit territory, part of the reason they kicked field goals. And yes, Miles Austin dropped that pass, which was a very good throw. But again, the ball could have been out a little bit quicker on that one to give Austin a little more room on the sideline. Sure. So to me, it's about, you know, accuracy, getting the ball out quickly, remembering to do that. You hit on the footwork because he did have a couple times where he kind of threw it flat-footed and open, which is unusual for Brian Hoyer.
That's where I think the pressing is coming in. I've seen this on the practice field as well. On occasion where he just seems to go from sound mechanics to this, I don't know what it is, but I can only attribute it to a guy pushing or pressing a little too hard.
A little loose, and again, the 3rd down conversions in opposing territory.
After further review...
All right, guys, final one. The rookie that had the best performance on Saturday night was who?
Well, his numbers didn't show it, but I think Terrence West was the best rookie out there. He had some runs for losses that were I'm not going to attribute to him because he was playing behind an offensive line that was not only leaky but just couldn't get any push to save its life. When he did run, though, he ran well. He opened some eyes, and my eyes have been open by him through the course of training camp and practice. I think he's going to be a special player and showed to be pretty special. There are a lot of runner-ups in this category. You could go to Chris Kirksey for the job that he did as well. I thought he had a strong game out of the chute, but I'm going to give it to Terrence West because, again, I see that special skill that he has as a runner. And look, I hope it all works out well that Ben Tate is everything the Browns want him to be as a free agent signing, because what it means to me is that this team could have some exceptional depth at running back from going to no running game last year. That's quite a climb.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Kirksey because I think what he showed in that game are the things that get you excited about him as an every-down linebacker. He can flow to the ball, plug the holes against the run, and then in coverage. To see him run with the Detroit Lions first-round pick tight end Eric Ebron, stride for stride up the sideline, covered him three times, actually received Pro Football Focus's highest coverage grade for any inside linebacker over the first week of the preseason. I thought that was a very impressive display for him, and I would give, obviously, I love what Terrence West did. I'd also give a little bit of a nod to Joel Bitonio and Taylor Gabriel, who did a good job in the return game, did a good job as a receiver, and made his first ever tackle at any level in the National Football League, and he was our guest on CBD yesterday, so got to give him a little bit of shout-out as well. And that'll do it.
That's it, guys.
Yes, right, indeed. That will do it there for us on the After Further Review. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we're going to wrap things up getting your phone calls and answering your tweets and questions after finishing up day 13 of Cleveland Browns training camp as the team continues to prepare for the Washington Redskins on primetime Monday Night Football on ESPN. We'll be back.